Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to a pre-World War III edition of Blitz Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most glass nose, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, future nuclear piles.
Hi.
Hello.
We're not compost.
We hope we're not going to be prophetic tonight.
Yeah.
Actually, turn out to be.
Yeah. So this episode is going to be Friday the 13th of April 2018. God damn, that sounds ominous. And yeah. So
compost.
Yep. So how you liking all that drop? All that duck and cover shit right now, huh?
Yeah. It's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. The only reason we're not more worried is because we're absolutely convinced that Donald Trump cannot intentionally get a person into war because of how stupid and incompetent he is.
Yeah. And there are checks and balances in place for that, so...
Yeah.
I've got my own theories.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah. And, yeah, stuff just kind of fucking... escalated this week. I mean, it really kind of came out of the blue, and it's just it's been kind of a powder keg for a little while, but this week everything just kind of went to shit really quick.
Yep.
But of course that's not going to be the only thing we're going to be talking about. We got other stuff too, including some school related stuff. Some stuff's really going to piss you off, especially what this teenage girl had to do at her own particular high school, because she didn't wear a bra. Some other stuff too. Actor TJ Miller, he was arrested for calling in a fake bomb threat. We'll be talking about that. Also, you know all those, how Toys R Us is basically just now completely abandoned now, and there's just all these Toys R Us places empty everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about something like that, because you know how people have been saying that you should, you know, just fuck it, use that space for a rave? Well, yeah.
Yeah, that probably happened.
Yeah. Also, we are getting closer and closer to the real world of Doraemon, because now there is a cat robot for lonely people. Coachella sucks. The Simpsons kind of fucked up. We're going to be talking some stuff about Stan the Man Lee, who is not doing too well. And, of course, we got our entertainment portion of the show. All that and more on this pre-nuclear edition of Let's Weekend. So... start off the show, as we always do. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Yeah, so, yeah, watching some stuff here and there, Mythbusters episodes mostly. I just finished the one where they had that mishap with the cannonball that ended up in somebody's living room. Yeah, that was the thing that happened. So that was pretty good so far. They kind of explained how that happened, and yeah, they're sorry. Not going to happen again.
Luckily, so nobody, sorry.
Yeah, luckily nobody was hurt, so that's all good. Other than that, I've been doing site stuff for the both of them, as you probably have seen. World Warriors, there's some new stuff going up there. The game hubs are in the process of being built. So that's progressing pretty well. Apart from that, let's see. What else have I been doing? I played a bit of Dub Wars, which is... a dubstep dual stick shooter. And it is I think I may have talked about this game a little while back because, it used to be an Ouya game and now it's available on Windows and platforms that actually matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was one of the free games with Twitch Prime. So I downloaded that and been giving that a little bit of a try. And it's not bad, actually. It's kind of good and the music is pretty decent if you like that kind of style. And, yeah, for a free game. I'm not going to complain too much, so yeah, cool. Give that a shot if you're a Twitch Prime member. Or, of course, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you get Twitch Prime for free, so just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it for me. How about you, Pat?
Well, I've been taking a couple days off from adding things to the World Warriors database because as rewarding as it is to watch that library grow and grow and grow, it does take a lot out of you. So, in the meantime, since I'm going to be... in a new place one way or another by the end of June at this point. I've pretty much been exploring my options. For the most part, it's been just looking over rental possibilities, but another option has kind of emerged that would actually see me being the owner of a home and having it paid off well before retirement. So it's a bit of a long shot. There are some hurdles that need to be jumped, but it is an opportunity that has presented itself that I never thought I would get. So I'm definitely looking into it very closely.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to have like my own personal base of operations to, run World Warriors from and do podcasting and things like that. So
yeah, have space for like, you know, a game room and arcade machines and fun stuff like that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's, from what I've seen of this place, that's on the table if I get it. But again, there are some hurdles that need to be jumped, and it's just something really intriguing that has kind of happened this week. So that's where the bulk of my thinking has been.
All right. What about you, Teresa?
I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go and playing the grandma games because I sprained my elbow. So I've been playing Uno online again. Had a lot of fun. I purchased the Overdraw boost because, well, frankly, I was losing and I had a really good streak going on. And it cost a whole lot of coins, which, you know, I get them. I'm not paying for these, so it's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying for any of this shit. You guys know that, right? You know me well enough. So I ended up doing it twice, and people who were down to Uno ended up with like 6 or 7 cards in their hand instead of one. And I came in second place, so I didn't lose my streak. I didn't, you know, win, so I didn't go on to streak number 7, but it kind of made it fun. I liked that I had spent a big amount of coins on that, so that was kind of neat. And then solitaire. Come on. I sprained my elbow. It's okay to play solitaire when you sprain your elbow. Yeah. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I need to tell myself to sleep at night, right?
Right.
Yep.
and then I did start my job this week, so it's the first time I've worked in like 6.5 years. And I'm alternating between, do I really need to drink or do I really need to nap? And I think the answer is probably both. So, well,
luckily, those were not mutually exclusive
right?
activities.
Right. But, you know, it's not so bad. I am really tired when I get home. But after, you know, like an hour of sitting on the couch, I'm okay to go, minus the sprained elbow, which I did out of my own stupidity at home, not at work. So I haven't lost anyone's kid yet. I did scream bloody murder at a kid today because he was chasing a squirrel. And I was more concerned for the squirrel. That's horrible to say. It was a big kid. And so my kid asks me, well, because, you know, it's probably one of his classmates. He's like, well, how fast could the kid run? And I'm like, as fast as a squirrel. I was afraid he was going to catch it. So I have now been issued a whistle. So I can whistle my head off at them instead of hacking my head off or straining my vocal cords. I definitely set the alarm off. I thought I was going to get through my first partial week without setting off the alarm. No go. I did it. So, you know, I'm making mistakes, but they're not big, bad mistakes, and everybody's kind of rolling with it. And you know, it's only 6 or 8, 9 weeks, something like that. So I think I'll make it through. But I'm definitely drinking. Not at work. what about you, Chris?
So WrestleMania was this past weekend, and it had some really good stuff in there.
Yeah, I heard
it was there.
And one of the actual cool things is there's actually a lot of good diversity in its sort of... So Triple H always has elaborate entrances, especially at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So he and Stephanie McMahon, his wife, rode to the ring on motorcycles, the three-wheeled motorcycles. And they also had a crew ahead of them riding on their own motorcycles, and it was all women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that was pretty cool. One of the wrestlers, Shinsuke Nakamura, had a band playing him in. Mm-hmm. It was mostly women, especially the lead guitarist, who I think was an actual famous...
Yeah, she plays. She's the guitar player for Alice Cooper.
Yeah, that's it.
I saw her live in here in Macon a couple years ago.
Yeah, she was really good. And I think they had, like, probably some high school band kids playing the rest of it, because a lot of his intro song is violins, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Very much was pretty cool to see all that in action. They had really good – both women's matches were really good, maybe two of the best of the night. The first one had Charlotte Flair, the daughter of Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
The most successful spawn of Ric Flair in a wrestling ring. His son David did not do well in WCW.
Nope.
But yeah, she faced off against Asuka, a well-known Japanese wrestler who is infamous for the streak where she has won some ridiculous amount of matches in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that got broken.
Yep.
She ended up losing, which was sad, but also after the match, she, you know, raised Charlotte's hands and congratulated her on winning. It was like, okay, some cool stuff here. The other women's match was between, I forget what the names are, Naya, who is a big woman.
Yeah.
And the champ, I forget what her name is. But they played off... No.
Ronda Rousey was there, but this isn't what you're talking about.
She was in the Triple H match.
Yeah.
But yeah, the champ was basically playing a body-shaming angle. And, you know, supposedly Naya's friend, but then they accidentally caught her on a live camera feed and mic talking shit about Naya.
Mm-hmm.
And her being fat and all that, and so they play that up. And I ended up beating her. Obviously being a pretty good inspiration for women and men that are big. Show that they can win wrestling championships and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What other matches they had that was pretty cool? The Triple H and Stephanie McMahon versus Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle match was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If not just for the ludicrousness of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, she ended up, Ronda Rousey ended up making Stephanie McMahon tap at the end.
Oh, yeah. But they didn't end there.
No. But yeah, they did some pretty cool stuff. But I think the best men's match was the one that kind of opened the show with the Intercontinental Championship.
Mm-hmm.
With The Miz, Seth Rollins, and Finn Balor, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those guys are really good, which is just made for a really good match. And Seth Rollins ended up winning the title and becoming one of the few wrestlers that have won all four of the major titles. The main title, the tag title, the Intercontinental title, and I think... The U.S. title, I think, is the other one. It's sort of their, like, EGOT kind of thing. Like, you've won all the belts. But yeah, the show, for the most part, was pretty good. There's a couple stinkers. The Roman Reigns match was not great. Which was kind of marred by the fact that Dana White of the UFC, for whatever reason, was talking about how Brock Lesnar is going to return. So we're like, oh, he's going to lose here. He didn't lose, but just kind of beat the shit out of Roman Reigns. So much that he was just bleeding out of his head, just covered over his face, and
so he just fucking hard weighed him,
pretty much.
Yeah, just kept suplexing with all that, doing F5s to him, just trying to get him to quit, and just getting covered in blood for Brock Lesnar as well in the ring. It's a good thing it was the last match of the night, because at that point people were just tired because it was a 5-hour show. For the main part of the show, there was still like an hour or two of pre-show where they had a few more matches, which is just ridiculous. But yeah, it was a pretty good show. Also, a 10-year-old won a tag team title with Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Let me guess, Make-A-Wish Foundation?
No, he's one of the ref's sons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Braun Strowman came to the ring for a title match, tag team title match, but didn't have a partner. So he went to the crowd and found this kid. They won because Braun Strowman just did all the fighting. But yeah, they relinquished it the next day in a little funny thing where he's like, yeah, he's in fourth grade. He can't defend this thing. Because he actually has to go to school. But yeah, it was a pretty good show for the most part. A couple stinkers there, but better than some of the past few WrestleManias. I also started watching some of the first few episodes of the new Roseanne season, which are actually pretty good. They kind of go a little too heavy on the Trump stuff.
They paid dearly for it too.
Yeah, it's like really ham-fisted stuff. It's like, you know, if you wrote this a little bit better, it could be more interesting, but it's just like Jackie shows up and she's got the pussy hat on and the nasty woman shirt on. There's a bit where Roseanne, Jackie talks about how Roseanne talking shit about Hillary so much got her to question her support of her and end up voting for Jill Stein. Then Roseanne's like, who's Jill Stein? Jackie's like, some doctor. It's just a lot of weird stuff, but the rest of the show is actually pretty good. Darlene has moved back into her parents' house with her two kids because she lost her job and sort of helped them out as well. I think I'm three episodes in, and it's pretty good. Like, the major bad thing is just that Roseanne Barr is a nut job.
Yeah.
Well, that's never been in question.
No, but they started injecting some of that into the show.
Yeah, maybe it's just that we're older now that we're more conscious of it.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. Well, and she's publicly displayed this all on her Twitter feed.
Yeah.
It's not like she believes like one conspiracy. She believes them all.
Pretty much. British.
It's like, oh, there's the lizard men. Okay. That's a weird thing to still believe. You know, all this sort of conspiracy stuff that Hannity talks about, the crime family shit, all this weird shit. It's like, just shut up. It's not interesting at all. But yeah, for games, I've been playing more of Vostok Inc., the dual stick shooter idle game. I managed to beat the Red Panda solar system, which ended up the way they played off is that it was just a bad communication equipment. Like, they wasn't actually threatening death on you and to paint the walls with blood or whatever. All just convenient misunderstanding. They actually wanted to help you. And offered up their big robot Elefanto to help you, which you destroy as the boss. So like, oh, well, you can leave now because we have no reason for you to be here anymore. But I get to the next solar system, and it's kind of creepy. They're like skinless aliens, almost like skinless Terminators looking thing. It's really weird. But yeah, it's still pretty good. They introduce these races, which is a weird thing in there. So you just fly your ship through the start and it just puts up, checkpoints that you just keep going through and till you get to the last one and with at least time left on there and you win. It's not really all that interesting, but, there's a trophy for doing 10 of them and it's not that hard. So I do 10 of them and I'm done forever. Not going to bother with that anymore. But yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's back on sale again on PS4 for $7.49 for half off. So it's a game people should check out if they're into like idle clicker games. I've been playing more Sea of Thieves. I've actually completed quests. Basically by getting on when nobody else is on. which has worked out pretty well. Completed a few for the gold hoarders. It's the main one where you basically sell your chest to. I ranked them up and got a gold shovel. Like a buy. It's the same as the other shovels, just gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make it easier for, I guess, trolls to figure out I'm not a new player. But yeah, it's fine. It's nothing amazing or anything like that. I did find it interesting, since every time you jump back in, it resets you at a random outpost island inside the tavern. And they actually have like a note up by the door as you leave. It's like, hey, here's like the code of conduct for Sea of Thieves. It's like, settle your beef out on the waves, you know, help out the newbies. So I was like, yeah, people aren't listening to this shit. They're just intentionally waiting by the piers for people to come back with their goods and just kill them and take them. Yeah, so they tried at least to put stuff up, but people are too busy getting drunk and ignoring all that shit.
Anything?
Yeah, so yeah, that's been all right. yeah. So I also been playing some Crimson Land. That was the feature game for 10 Tons of Switch.
Mm-hmm.
This week, which is just a really good dual stick shooter, like, more in the pure arcade high score sense than most of their other ones. But it's an interesting game to play after having played all the other shooters that came after it, and sort of seeing where, just reminding myself of where that all that stuff started. And realizing it's still a hell of a lot of fun. I think in the video I did the main survival mode and did pretty well. I got like 200 some thousand points and was maybe about 500 or 600 away from the top score, which is like 14 million. It's not all that close, but for the first time I tried that mode out in probably about a year, I did pretty well, so. That's up. People should check that out. There's maybe like 2 or 3 more games left for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will be done. And I think that's pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, first things first, my gaming is still primarily taken up with Ni No Kuni 2. I have gotten over the hill. I've now got all of the kingdoms united under the Declaration of Interdependence. So that basically means that now the big bad shit's fixing to start. And after that, it's pretty much just, you know, just going towards the end. So, I mean, it's good this game is so fun and I am actually invested in it, because it is actually remarkably short compared to what the last Ni No Kuni was.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
Well, I've played it in total about 20 hours, and I'm now getting towards the fight, the big baddie. So, yeah, it is a little shorter than the last one.
Huh.
Yeah, unless they pull some weird twist that you're not expecting.
Which is completely possible.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I've now got the Zeppelin, which is basically this game's equivalent to the airship.
Yeah.
And anyone who's ever played a Final Fantasy game, what part is the game where you usually get the airship?
Well, in the Final Fantasies that I play, usually right about the 1/3 of the game mark.
Yeah. So, other than that, yeah, the game is legitimately good and legitimately engaging and actually really fun. Just a little bit shorter than I expected it to be. But, so, probably after I finish this, I've been thinking maybe going to GameStop and getting God of War.
I've heard good things.
I have heard amazing things about it. It is legitimately good, I've been told. It's been getting pretty much universal critical acclaim. People have been telling me it's completely just redoes the God of War formula from the ground up and takes it and makes it almost a completely new game. You know, there's no more twin blades. It's all an axe that comes back to you when you throw it. You know, it's like kind of open worldy. There's like a lot of story that's hidden underneath the surface that you have to actively go out and find.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. But anyway, so other than that, still reading still about halfway through Charles Soule's The Oracle Year, which of course I talked about Charles Soule before. He's currently my favorite writer in comic books right now. This is his first published novel, hopefully not his last, because holy shit, this book is good. But I talked about it last week. It's about this guy who's like a bass player for some rinky-dinky garage band in California, wakes up one morning with about 108 prophecies in his head, so he and a tech buddy get together and start a website. And then people start to notice as these prophecies actually start coming true. And so basically he realizes he starts to get some enemies, including world leaders, religious fanatics, this one sort of Betty White-looking grandma who's also an assassin, you know, financial people. It's just really – it's a fantastic book, really unpredictable. You know, other than that, reading comics too. On top of that, all that, we're kind of looking to update our bandwidth. But really, that's pretty much it. I mentioned bandwidth because right about this time of year, for whatever reason, around the time between April and May, our bandwidth starts to go haywire.
Yeah.
Down here, I'm not sure if it's just an atmospheric thing or what. It's just one of those things that you have to deal with when you live out in the sticks like I do. So, all right. So, has anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Just FYI, the Lost in Space reboot is on Netflix, so if you wanted to watch that, it's available now, so check that out.
Yes, it is. All right, then. Well, I do believe then, now that all that's out of the way, it's now time for everyone's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And so, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a bit of a comic book fan. I think most of us are, to a degree. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, you can't get into geek culture without bumping up into comic books at least once. And one of the things I love about modern comics culture is that because we now have all these people who are actively, you know, as their job going out and archiving and scoring through old comics and basically rediscovering a lot of great artists and writers that, you know, kind of went unnoticed or just became moderately successful, and then suddenly realizing how kind of awesome they were years after the fact. Going back and finding old comics from, you know, that people never discovered that people had, like, you know, Joe Shuster or Bill Fingerman or, you know, the old Golden Age stuff. But there's this one guy I wanted to sort of turn people on to, simply because he didn't work in comics for long. His entire career in comic books lasted literally just like 2 to 3 years. It was like 1939 to 1941. But what he left, the type of material he left, is just so absolutely bug-fuck insane that it's pretty much become sort of a cult hit on its own right. The gentleman I want to introduce everybody to is a man by the name of Fletcher Hanks Sr. I'm going to go ahead and put a little link here, because if you're trying to find Fletcher Hanks, there's actually two books that collect all of his known comics work that you can find, both of which can be found in bookstores and on the website I just linked. So Fletcher Hanks was one of the first, like, I guess you could call him auteurs in the comic book world. He wrote, penciled, inked, lettered, and colored all of his work. And he was basically, he got into doing comics because he needed the money. This was like in between the years between, you know, the years between the Depression and World War II, when Superman and superheroes in general were blowing up, and everybody wanted to be the next Superman or the next Batman or the next Wonder Woman, the next Captain Marvel. You know how it goes, right?
Right.
And so what Fletcher Hanks did is basically he basically worked on a handful of kind of sort of ongoing strips that were all based around very sort of like super ultra powerful heroes that basically everybody admired and thought were the greatest people of all time, and who had super ultra cosmic superpowers that could basically make them work as judge, jury, and executioner and put any villains into their own sort of really kind of hellish, ironic punishments that only a complete blood-dripping psychopath like Fletcher Hanks could come up with. For example, one of his most famous characters was a character called Stardust the Super Wizard. Or is it Stardust the Space Wizard? I can't remember. This character, Stardust, was basically, as the comics themselves described him, he said, Stardust, whose knowledge of cosmic science has made him the most remarkable man who ever lived. From Wikipedia, here's a page from one of those strips he used to draw. By the way, you'll notice something about the way he draws faces. Yeah, so the Super Wizard Stardust. The introduction goes, Stardust, whose vast knowledge of interplanetary science has made him the most remarkable man that ever lived, devotes his abilities to grime busting. And basically his type of crime busting, if you will, usually involved individuals like, you know, trying to use some sort of cosmic ray to turn all the gold in the world into fake gold, or a cosmic ray to take all oxygen off of the earth, or something to enslave all gorillas into an invading communist army, that type of bullshit, you know what I'm saying? And usually the way that these creatures, these evil doers met their comeuppance was just freaking, just God, it was so weird. Like, Stardust would do a thing where in this one particular story, he had this bad guy where after he had caught him, he shrank his body down to the point where the only thing that was left was his still conscious head, which he then flung down onto a planet, which was then inhabited solely by a giant headless monster constantly looking for another head.
Okay, some
there's drugs. A panel from it, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, this guy's just really strange.
Oh yeah, he was. He was also kind of a bastard too. So there's two books that collect Fletcher Hanks' work. The first is called I Shall Destroy All the Civilized Planets, and the other one is called You Shall Die by Your Own Evil Creation. And the first book actually has a short comic story, about 15 pages, where the guy who worked as the editor and collector on that first book, he actually tracked down Fletcher Hanks' son, Fletcher Hanks Jr., and we basically found out that Fletcher Hanks was kind of an asshole who drank himself, who drank constantly, beat his kids, was eventually kicked out of his house, and then died while frozen to death on a bench after he passed out drunk in a park. So, Yeah, he was kind of a prick, is what I'm saying.
Hmm.
But yeah. He did... But he did do some other fascinating things. For once, he's actually one of the first people to actually create a super heroine. He actually, he has a character that he did called Fantoma, Mystery Woman of the Jungle, actually preceded Wonder Woman by about 6 months. Let's see, I got a shot from a Fantoma strip right here. Hold on. That's also from the Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And Fantoma, well, she basically had the same kind of crazy ass, you know, powers that Stardust did, except she was basically a blonde Aryan giantess that ruled over the tribes in the jungle because, you know, 1939.
Yeah.
And one of hers basically included her taking control. Oh, and by the way, if you see in that strip when she turns into her Fantoma, you notice she basically turns like grayish green and has a skull face.
Yeah.
How's that nightmare fuel for you? Yeah, so in one of those strips, that one I talked about, the evil communist guerrilla army, at the end of that, she takes control of the guerrillas and then has the guerrillas turn against their former communist overlords and then has them torn to pieces. And I say you know torn to pieces because you can literally see a severed leg and arm flying away from them.
As you do.
Yeah. So all in all, Fletcher Hanks, he created about as many... As most know, he made at most about 51 stories. Fantoma and Stardust are, of course, his most famous. He also did a boxing strip called Big Red McLean, which was about a big hulking lumberjack that was also a boxer. And he also had another character. I can't remember what it's called, but he was a it was basically like a, how to put it, sort of a Flash Gordon ripoff. Because that was also a big thing back then, too. Yeah. So, Fletcher Hanks. If you ever get a chance, go out to, you know, your local bookstore or wherever comics are sold, see if you can find copies of these two books. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Because it's that weird combination of, like... of like old timey comic weirdness and just bug fuck insanity that gives it almost the character of like outsider art.
Yeah.
It's just completely fucking nuts. And that has been another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Dude was genuinely disturbed.
Yes, he was. So, now that that's over with, it is now time for the show proper. And as we always start the show proper, we have to start with the asshole of the week. And this one's going to take a little explaining because the individual that we're talking about here, his crimes happened a little over a decade ago. So this week, Donald Trump... In his list of infamous deeds, officially pardoned Scooter Libby. Now, who is Scooter Libby? Scooter Libby was a politician who was convicted of being one of the people that helped expose the identity of a CIA agent named Valerie Plame, now Valerie Anderson. And, he's actually one of, like, there was, like, a total of, like, how many people that went to court? Like, 6 or 7 people, and he was the only one that actually got convicted. This was, like, a big scandal during the Bush administration, the last one.
I remember.
Oh, yeah, I remember it,
too. Oh, yeah. Basically, it's in a lot of reasons people believe it happened was because of political reasons. Because Valerie Plame's husband was... A diplomat or a journalist, something who was a big vocal critic of the Iraq War, and so a lot of people that believe this was a political hit. Well, anyway, he was just pardoned by Donald Trump.
And to what end? How does Donald Trump profit from this? Because we need to follow the money.
More than likely, it happened because somebody was able to butter him up enough to make him think it was a good idea.
I think it's him suggesting anybody that's being interviewed by Mueller.
It's possible.
I'm not sure it does any good
for Scooter Libby at this point.
Yeah. I mean, his law license was revoked, for those who don't know, so he can't practice law anymore.
And it's been over 10 years since he first arrived at his general population cell block to say, "Hi, my name is Scooter." I mean, what's left of this guy by now?
Yeah.
Oh, he had his sentence commuted.
Yeah, he did, I think.
And I think he's served all the community service and all that as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, largely, he's fine for the most part.
Mm-hmm. By the way, just to remind folks, when you get a presidential pardon, in order to accept that pardon, you have to publicly proclaim your guilt.
Yeah.
Like that. So this is Scooter Libby basically saying that, yeah, I was guilty of the charges that I went to court for.
That's been a sticking point on a lot of pardons.
Yeah. Remember what happened to Joe Arpaio? This is how he ended up accepting the pardon. He basically had to admit that all the shit he got convicted for is what he did. Exactly where this is going to lead, nobody knows. I mean, like Chris said, people have been suggesting this might be leaked to Robert Mueller at some way. Because we know that, and we're going to get to it in a little bit, shit with the Robert Mueller stuff is very quickly picking up. So moving on from there to get the taste out of our mouths, we're going to go on off to our hero of the week. Our heroes of the week, it's the Lakers, who called up a 10-year G League veteran for their first NBA game, and they did fantastic.
Yep, this involves a player named Andre Ingram, who's been in the NBA's developmental league, now known as the G League, because it's named after Gatorade.
Yep.
He's been over there for about 10 years now. He's 32. He's the G League's all-time leading three-point shooter. Was shooting, I think, last season 55% from three. This year he's just doing 48%. The Lakers had two games left. They had some injuries, so they had some open spots. So they kind of surprised him during his exit interview that they were signing him for the last two games to bring him in. And there's a video on this article near the bottom. It's a nice little four-minute interview of them sort of filming all this and getting his reaction and all that. And it's one of those really nice feel-good moments for that sports can offer a lot of times. So in his first game, he ended up scoring 19 points, was 4 of 5 from 3. The only miss he had, he got fouled, so he made all three of his threes. I think he had a couple rebounds, assists, and three blocks, which was a really great start for him. And definitely, I think he's going to have a career going forward because he's played well enough and is well-respected around the league. As one of the best players in the D-League, for whatever reason, never getting called up, but definitely seems like a good player that's going to get new contracts. He's going to be pretty cheap because he's 32. Otherwise, it was a pretty cool thing to see. And I think even though at a point the crowd was chanting MVP when he was up at the foul line. So everybody was in on supporting him. So as much as sports can be really toxic.
One of those
cool moments that definitely was not. They definitely kept saying in the video, we're not bringing you up just as a feel-good thing. We actually need some players. And I think that he might even stick around. Despite them not going to the playoffs, I assume he'll be playing with them in the off season and probably look at signing him on a cheap deal. Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay. So, yeah, hope in the world. There is good stuff in the world. And you're going to need to remember that because, god damn, our next story is...
We're about to dive into the shithole here.
Yeah. So, unless you've been living under a rock this past week, you probably know shit in Syria went south this week. Very fast.
I've been living under a rock. What's going on?
All right. It looks like there was a chemical attack. And nobody knows who actually did it.
Oh, shit.
Now, both the Western powers, you know, including the United States, the UK, and their allies have been saying that it was Bashar al-Assad. But there's a problem with that story. You see, and the reason for him doing that is, why would he? Because in case you haven't noticed, ISIS is almost completely gone. Like, ISIS has been Syria's number one enemy right now. And, of course, as you also know, there's been kind of a big civil war happening in Syria as well. And the thing is, both ISIS and that other part of the civil war are almost non-existent at this point.
Hmm.
So, and then out of nowhere starts this big chemical attack. And so people are wondering, why exactly would Bashar al-Assad suddenly decide to launch a chemical attack on all these people if the war is almost over?
Hmm.
Now, on the other hand, you could say that Bashar al-Assad is a vicious, bloodthirsty bastard, and he's doing this to make sure that no one ever, ever tries to oppose him again.
Hmm. Valid possibility.
There's also some confusing reports coming out from people who've been there, you know, Doctors Without Borders, people who were there when it happened, saying that there may not have been a chemical attack as we consider it at all. There may have been something bad that happened to a bunch of people, but whether or not it was like sarin gas or some kind of gas attack, there doesn't seem to be very many signs that happened. So basically, nobody really knows what happened.
Yep.
And basically every side is trying to use it to what's rushing into what looks like is coming to boots on the ground in Syria.
Hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah, and if you lived through the Iraq war like we did, you can start seeing some of the signs wherever you look.
Yeah. Trump's been on Twitter.
Yes, he has. Here's the scary part. Russia is backing up Syria. And probably China as well. And Russia has said that any missiles that are fired into Syria by the U.S. will be intercepted by Russian forces, and then there will be retaliation in kind. So, yeah, we're kind of on a razor's edge right now.
Yeah, they're not mincing words at all with that.
No. The good thing here, though, and there is some good to it, pretty much everybody in the world, including most people in the U.S., can look and say, yeah, this is bullshit. If fucking Tucker goddamn Carlson can go on his show where he is filleting Donald Trump 24/7 and say, no, this is wrong, we don't need to go to war with Syria at all.
Hmm.
Might be time to go back to the drawing board and rethink your strategy there, Padre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a big banner on top of CNN saying President Trump to address the nation about the U.S. response to the chemical weapon attack in Syria. Watch now.
Well, fuck. Yeah, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
No.
I'm going to just watch and see what happens later.
Yeah.
Because every word that comes out of that man's mouth makes me cringe inside.
Yeah.
Just let other people filter it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only way I can stand it.
Yep.
But moving on from there, because guess what? Mueller investigation is still ongoing. And this week, the FBI went over to Michael Cohen. You remember Michael Cohen. Michael says who? Cohen. Yeah, him. Yeah. Trump's lawyer, who now also has a lawyer. Yeah, the FBI raided his office this week. And they found some shit.
Go figure.
Yep, they're basically, seems like Mueller's investigation found some things and handed it off to the New York AG, who has been precisely wanting to get this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went with the FBI. The weird thing is, obviously, Donald Trump threw a tantrum saying, what is it, lawyer, client privileges have been...
Something like that.
And has been destroyed, and just temper tantrum shit.
Yeah.
Whereas Cohen is saying, no, they were nice. They came over. They did their thing. You know, they didn't fuck anything up. You know, then I guess they had lunch afterwards. Trump and Cohen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it seems like part of this is linking with things on like the Steele dossier, the Prague stuff. Supposedly they might have evidence of that now. They also were looking for the excess Hollywood tape that made the rounds before the election. Because Trump really acknowledged it was real, and then he apologized for it and all that, and has since said it's all fake and his doctor said that it wasn't him on there. It's like, fucking Christ, just have one story, not 1,500 storylines you're trying to weave into some coherent reality that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's all fake news.
Yeah.
And also probably dementia.
Yep. See, they searched his residence, his hotel room, office, safety deposit boxes, two cell phones. Because he's a lawyer, they had to set up an independent team of lawyers to go through things just to make sure they weren't going to mess with any of the confidentiality stuff. And yeah, so they're trying to figure out sort of the money with the Stormy Daniels stuff, as well as other things. There's the whole thing with paying off the RNC head. He had some mistress who was paying her. Cohen did the deals to pay her off, all that stuff. So there's lots of weird shit that's coming out of this. Definitely stuff that people are going to have to keep an eye on for the next couple weeks, because as they sort of sort through all this, figure out what all the shithead has.
Yeah, I don't think Trump makes it past April, honestly. I think by the end of April, we're going to see him in handcuffs.
Yeah.
No, I'm not too good with that prediction.
No.
Labor Day?
Well, here's the thing. People have been suggesting that Mueller is probably going to come out with all of this information before November. Because what happens on November?
Yeah, it's the elections in November.
The midterms. Yep. Yeah. And more than likely, I doubt that's going to happen before then.
You think he's going to hold it until November so the Trump faction can't do damage control?
Pretty much. Just so it can also be a chance for the American people to basically, you know, have their own little purge.
Yeah, because the churn's going to be pretty ridiculous this year.
Yeah.
And it's so weird seeing, like, all of the GOP essentially turn on their own people. Because everybody that's leading this investigation is Republican.
Yeah. Including Robert Mueller.
Yeah.
Mueller, McCabe... Rosenstein, it's so weird because they're essentially treating them like rhinos now. It's like, no, these were the reason of people that were here before the Tea Party took over.
Yeah. So,
stay tuned.
All right. So next story we got, Florida governor and human mole rat, Rick Scott. He's announced that he's running for Senate to take Bill Nelson's seat.
Human mole rat.
Well, have you seen him?
I think I will now.
I mean, he's sort of, he looks like John Malkovich if, you know, John Malkovich was like part, I don't know, human purse.
Oh, God. What?
Like, he has no hair. He's like that dude from The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
Only less charming.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He almost looks like a completely shaved, like, Ron Howard, but evil.
Yeah.
But evil, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so the interesting thing is he's rich, so he can self-fund.
Oh, my God. He looks like a politician version of Voldemort.
He is.
Yeah, and there's very much a whole thing that the GOP loves him because they don't have to put any money into him. He can fund his own campaign. Trying to take down Nelson with, like, the gun control stuff, where it seems like if Bill Nelson is smart, just pointing out the simple fact that Rick Scott signed pro-gun laws into action that's allowed the Parkland shooter to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That should kill it right there. But as we've learned for the last 2 years, things that disqualify normal people don't work anymore.
Nope.
Well,
a pedophile almost made it into the Senate
in Alabama.
You know, as every 18-year-old becomes eligible to vote, my hope grows.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a quote here from Bill Nelson. Saying there are so many differences between himself and Scott. The quote is, I think Rick Scott will say and do anything to try to get elected.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've always thought that if you just try to do the right thing, the politics is going to take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's an interesting way of interpreting it.
Weirdly naive and...
That's not how politics works.
Unfortunately.
He asked if he considers himself a Donald Trump Republican. Scott told Politico, I consider myself Rick Scott. I don't consider myself any type of anything.
No, that's a good answer.
He's very egotistical, I guess.
Yeah.
Also shows, like, I don't want anything to do with Donald Trump.
Yeah. I imagine it's going to be hard for him to win because everybody in Florida remembers the Parkland shooting, remembers his inactivity.
Yep.
And his active helping for that sort of situation to happen.
Mm-hmm. And also just in general because he's one of those douchebags who wouldn't accept Obamacare money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's one of them.
Yeah.
But
I guess it says here the two races he won for governor were incredibly close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was a slam dunk for him.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around he has huge flaws that everybody in Florida has seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill climb for him, but he has enough money to make it work, so that's the problem.
Yeah.
You can just keep lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, our next story is one that, frankly, I've seen coming for months now. Paul Ryan, who is currently Speaker of the House, has now announced that he's not running for re-election.
Well, yeah, you know what would happen to him in the midterms?
He'd be savaged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be an election. It would be a war crime.
I don't want none of that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've already thrown my grenade into the house. I'm done.
Yeah, he's the big... he was the primary offer of our recent spending bill. The one that increased the national debt by about $1 trillion.
Yep.
Yeah, after all his years about Obama not reducing it,
went ahead and just added to it.
He just freaking volcanoed all over it. Good God.
And he's also the guy behind the tax reform.
Yeah.
Yep.
He now has a permanent erection at the thought of poor people getting set back for another 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ten?
$10.
It's probably going to take more like 15, 20 to fix this shit.
Yeah, but the tax reform at least is set for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
His reasons is that he wants to not be a weekend dad.
Uh-huh.
See his kids actually grow up.
Mm-hmm.
The old spend time with his family excuse.
Bull and fucking shit.
Hope that his spine can regrow. back into a healthy human spine.
Yeah.
He's been operating pretty well without one for the last few years.
Yeah.
It's a medical marvel. And hey, he gets to retire with his full pension plan and all that.
Yeah. Yep.
Unlike everyone else.
Except for McCabe.
Well, next up, we've actually got a relatively positive story. The Bank of America, so they got a bunch of clients that they lend out money to, and one of those is gun manufacturers. And they have announced that they're going to stop lending money to gun manufacturers who make assault rifles.
Yeah, this is good PR for Bank of America.
It's good PR. That's about it. Asshole company.
Yeah,
they're still evil.
Yes, they are still the bane of human existence, but they are at least smart enough to know which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
And apparently civilian assault rifles are, their markets aren't looking too good right now.
No.
Okay, so first up, Trump approves U.S. military strikes in Syria. No. So, hey.
They're all fucked.
What?
Yay.
He fucking that
just,
what?
That just happened.
Yep.
Hold on. Let me go to CNN myself, see what it says.
God damn it.
Well, I'm on CNN. Hurry up and load. Of course, I wouldn't be surprised if they're...
Yeah, they're probably getting slammed right now.
With traffic right now.
Yeah.
U.S. launches strikes on Syria.
Yep. Well, they haven't launched them yet. They're going to.
Yeah, it says here, Trump says he has ordered strikes on the Syrian regime in response for chemical weapon attack last weekend.
Chemical weapon attack that nobody knows if it actually happened.
Says here, samples from Syria attack site test positive for chlorine and nerve agent, official says. Now.
Yeah, we've heard this shit before.
Yeah. Nikki Haley slams Russia over Syria chemical attack. Could the Syrian war lead to a U.S.-Russia conflict?
Does a bear shit in the woods?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does an 800-pound gorilla sleep wherever it wants to?
Yep. Is Putin cackling with glee right now?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, with that bit of good news, moving on from there, Pennsylvania School District has decided that they're going to arm their teachers with tiny little baseball bats as a last resort for a school shooting.
And what are they going to do? Throw them at the person?
Yeah, so these are, let's see, it's in the Mill Creek Township School District outside of Erie.
Mm-hmm.
Handed out 16-inch bats to about 500 teachers. It's part of training that included how to react during a school shooting. And you can see pictures here. It's a tiny bat.
It is. It's something that, you know,
it's like sort of thing they give out at a baseball game. It's like, hey, free bats for kids.
An 8-year-old would break it.
Except
in
they
about
would probably
years.
Plastic so that they can't actually hurt themselves too much.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, see, the whole thing is, even if they do try to attack an active shooter with this, these people are not afraid of getting hurt.
No.
They usually plan to die.
Yeah, it's the hypothetical scenario is not gun versus bat.
Mm-hmm.
It's knife versus bat.
Yeah.
You don't bring a bat to a gunfight.
You don't bring anything to a gunfight.
You don't want a gunfight.
Yes.
Yeah, just avoid having the gunfight entirely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm looking at the size. I look at the size of that thing, and yeah, if you did throw that, you could get some. You could do some damage with that.
Yeah, I mean it's basically a blackjack.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it cost the school district about $1,800 for these bets.
And the parents are pissed.
Yep.
Yes, as they should.
Yeah, quote here, am I going to get out my bat that's in a locked cabinet or my bucket of rocks or slide something under the door to lock it to stop someone? How effective is any of this?
It's not. It's basically security theater.
Yep.
It's basically the equivalent to the TSA with their, you know, their screening program.
Yeah, and their TSA locks and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Congrats.
Yep. All right, well, anybody. Here's another school story that's going to absolutely really piss you off. Yeah. All right, so this one is in Florida. A teenage girl named Lizzie Martinez, about 17 years old. She went to her school, her high school, without a bra. So the school officials, including the dean, basically told her that she needed to cover up her nipples with bandages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just a little...
That does not work.
Yeah, I know from experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I sadly have had to have special easy release tape in that area.
Yeah.
It still hurts like a bitch.
Yeah. Band-aids, it also makes it even more obvious, too, exactly. Because, you know, because, like, the bandages they're talking about, they're basically talking about, you know, adhesive bandages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Yeah, Band-Aids are really easy to see under cloth.
Yeah.
You know, they stick out more prominently than even a female nipple does. It's mm-hmm. pretty obvious what's going on there.
Yeah.
How about you tell the little shitheads who are laughing about the girl's nipples, hey, knock it off. It's just a human body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see that shit on your smartphone all the time. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, have they never been to the park in the summer? The beach?
Yeah.
The pool? There's nipples everywhere. Beach. Everybody has nipples. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, and basically blaming her for supposedly distracting other students.
Buddy, I hate to tell you this, but if your goal is to stop teenage boys from not being constantly distracted by sex, yeah, that's a losing battle.
That's called an all boys thing
while you're at it.
Yeah, especially you can take the young boys. You can take all the boys in that class in that grade. Go out on a field trip. Take them out to. You know, Washington, D.C. or Oklahoma or somewhere where they can see the rolling hills of the plains, and just at least two of those hills are going to look like boobs, and half of that class is going to get hard.
Oh, I am guessing the boys were not the problem.
No.
Nope. Probably some dirty old men.
No, it was the mean girls.
Oh, that too.
No. Probably just that.
Hmm.
Probably just that. I mean, there may have been some catcalls from boys, but it was probably the girls in the high school that were the problem.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Teenage girls are bitches.
You can leave one word out of there and that would work.
Girls are bitches.
Oh, boy, they start early.
You know this from experience, Teresa?
Yeah, my friends have shared with me their woes from, like, age 7 up.
Hmm.
Having their kids come back from a party or Google Hangouts in tears mm-hmm. because somebody blah blah blah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a pretty good part of the story where they involve the mom.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Yeah, the dress code does not specifically address or require bras. It's just a bit of details.
Mm-hmm.
So her mom, named Carrie, said she received a phone call from the office Monday morning. She said the dean called about a sensitive matter involving her daughter, saying she felt uncomfortable and unheard. Martinez left school early. His mom says, if it was a male dean that asked my daughter to do this, we wouldn't even be on the phone trying to justify it. Therefore, we should not be doing it as female deans.
Hmm.
Yeah, if this was a dude, she'd be calling her a lawyer.
Yeah. Yep. On Tuesday, seriously. Martinez was called to the office because her mother had requested another phone conversation with school officials and satisfied with the conversation, not again picked up her daughter from school. She said that's when Martinez revealed that the school officials gave her the bandages on Monday. Nav said she slammed the brakes on her car while in the school parking lot. I stopped and looked over her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you have got to be kidding me. She said later that she got in touch with Willie Clark, the director of student services for the school district, and that he arranged a meeting with officials at the high school. Wednesday, she met with Clark, the dean, the school nurse, and the principal. The meeting was a chance to express her frustration. We should not treat a girl like this because of where her fat cells decided to distribute genetically.
Yeah.
She also emailed the superintendent that evening that she received a phone call soon after. Though at first the dean, a superintendent, sympathized with Martinez, her mother said. She later said the girl's protruding nipples may have distracted other students in violation of the district's dress code.
Yeah,
Martinez said she plans to stop wearing a bra and protest what happened. Monday, she tagged the school in a Twitter post that said, "Stop sexualizing my body." So, yeah. The school's Twitter account later blocked Martinez, according to a screenshot she provided Thursday.
Fun.
Yep.
All right, so this next one is going to require a bit of an explanation. So Denmark, they have put up their first monument to Mary Thomas. Who's Mary Thomas? Mary Thomas was a black woman who led a slave revolt.
Yep. Let's see, it's a 23-foot-tall statue titled I Am Queen Mary, debuted in Copenhagen on Saturday. It's a tribute to the 19th-century rebel leader, Mary Thomas, who led a revolt against her Danish overlords on the Caribbean Isle of St. Croix. She was known as Queen Mary. They got some nice pictures there. Yeah, so let's see. Right, they got a link here for the... Let's see, okay. Yes, Thomas, along with two other female leaders, unleashed an uprising in 1878 called the Fireburn. 50 plantations in most of the town of Frederiksted in St. Croix were burned in what has been called the largest labor revolt in Danish colonial history. And I believe they have a very much a big history of slavery, colonialism.
Yeah. Well, Denmark, like all of the big European powers at one point, has colonialism, slavery, and imperialism on its list of sins. So,
yeah. Yep. And this is their first statue of a black person in the country, so that's pretty big for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is Denmark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they got a lot of people that they obviously brought in from other countries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And from what I've been reading of the comments from this on this particular article, apparently a lot of people in Denmark didn't know that they even had a slave trade at one point.
I'm going to take a wild guess that they conveniently left those parts out.
And their history textbooks.
Yeah.
You don't need to know about this.
Yeah.
All right. All right, this next story is just plain stupid. T.J. Miller, you know, the actor, he's been arrested because he actually tried to call in a fake bomb threat on an Amtrak train.
Was he on the train?
Yep.
Sorry.
According to authorities, the 36-year-old comedian called 911, told the dispatcher he was on an Amtrak train traveling from D.C. to Penn Station in New York City, and that a female passenger has a bomb in her bag. The train he identified was stopped in Connecticut at Green's Farm Station in Westport. All passengers were kicked off. Bomb squad members searched the area. No evidence of any explosive device or materials were detected. There was a journalist on the plane, Allison Stewart. She tweeted video of the incident that night, also commented about the story on Twitter on Tuesday. Said, OMG, I was on that train. The authorities took the threat very seriously, evacuated everyone into a parking lot that night, It was called at least 16 police vehicles, bomb sniffing dogs. They detained 4 women for questioning. I can't believe all of that because of this guy.
I think he just wanted to get off early.
It was later discovered that Miller was on a different train. The attendant on the actual train stated that he, quote, appeared intoxicated upon boarding in Washington. That
he consumed
He consumed multiple drinks on the train, and that he had been removed in New York owing to his intoxication. The attendant also advised that Miller had been involved in hostile exchanges with a woman who was sitting in a different row from him in the first class car.
My hunch is now proven.
He appeared Tuesday before U.S. District Judge Jeffrey Meyer in New Haven, was released on a $100,000 bond. Charge carries a maximum term of imprisonment of 5 years. The charge is intentionally conveying to law enforcement false information about an explosive device on a train.
Don't joke about that shit.
Seriously.
Oh, no.
And so they got the FBI's working on this. Connecticut State Police, Metropolitan Transportation Authority Police, Amtrak Police, and Westport Police. All of the police.
All right. So remember earlier I was talking about all those abandoned Toys R Us's?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this week, 5 people were arrested for holding an illegal raid in an abandoned Toys R Us.
Raid.
Rave in the Toys R Us.
Yep. This is in the UK.
Yeah.
It's in the.
Of course, it's in Europe somewhere.
It's in Hounslow Borough of West London. Let's see. Yeah, Britain is a country with an illustrious history of illegal raves. This happened on March 31st. 5 people were arrested for attempting to hold a massive rave in an abandoned Toys R Us store. The officers also seized a sound system at the shuttered store located at Hounslow's Bulls Bridge Industrial Estate. The party planned as a, quote, massive Easter weekend rave. According to media reports, had not yet started. Posting on Twitter, Hounslow MPS shared a photo of a Toys R Us sign, which had been daubed in graffiti, so it read, "Raves R Us."
Make it obvious at all.
Although it appears the photograph may have been altered by the person operating the department's Twitter account.
You know, of all the things that I know the UK and England specifically to be famous for, illegal raves is not even in the top 10.
But okay. They do occur.
They do happen.
I think they should just not be illegal. I think they should legalize raves.
Yeah, decriminalize raves. I'm in the pro-rave count.
Well, the notion that this is an illegal rave suggests there are legal raves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Otherwise, it would just be they got arrested for having a rave.
Yeah. So if you're gonna host an illegal rave, maybe you might want to not doctor the sign.
Yeah,
saying it kind of makes it obvious.
Maybe keep it on the down low as best you can.
You know, use WhatsApp or Signal or something.
Yeah,
just saying.
All right, now we're gonna talk a bit about some science stuff. And the first one is butterflies. Yay, butterflies. Yes, they're pretty. And their group just got a bit bigger because this week there was a new species discovered. A species that was only now discovered because the specimen to catalog that species had been kept in some random drawer for about 60 years.
Whoops.
Yep. Yeah, so this involves a well-known lepidopterologist. I assume a scientist that studies butterflies. Name is Thomas Emmel. About 6 decades ago, became the first and only person to collect what is now officially known as Solopsis thomemelii. Yeah, so this all happens during a 3-month expedition in the Mexican highlands. You collected thousands of butterflies. Among them are what are now known to be 13 Solopsis tumameli in a pine oak forest in Chiapas. The butterflies are deemed unremarkable until Andrew Warren, senior collections manager of the Florida Museum of Natural History's McGuire Center for Lepidoptera and Biodiversity, noticed they were an unidentified species. They're about 2 inches wide. Females are slightly paler than the males, who have fuzzy scales, which experts believe excrete a scent. So I have a picture of him as a kid holding the a box of his butterfly collection. That's from 1949. He had a similar box with these in it 10 years later that just ended up getting stored in this drawer. That just kind of sat for a long time.
Yeah. We've actually been, as far as science is concerned, we've actually been getting a lot of these stories over the last few months of we finding these new startling scientific discoveries that basically had just been languishing away in storage for decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff like where the tools and such that we have to, you know, investigate things like fossils is a lot more sophisticated now than they were, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah,
it's true.
And this, especially, is just probably a case of this didn't seem like a new thing. It was probably pretty new. And that stuff wasn't necessarily equipped to compare and contrast to other species. Like, oh, this is unlike the rest I've seen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has a new species of butterfly named after him.
Yeah.
The species still in existence, or we know?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's neat. Well, all right. This next story is just, well, there's a band name in here somewhere. A punk turtle that breathes through its genitalia has been added to the endangered species list.
Yep.
That was a sentence I just said.
Yep.
And yet, oddly enough, not a one of it is untrue. Just click the link.
Yeah, this is the Mary River Turtle, found in Queensland, Australia, is on a new list of most vulnerable reptile species on the planet.
Uh-huh.
As you can see, it has like a green mohawk
kind
of looking thing. Yeah, it's about 40 centimeters long, only found on the Mary River in Queensland. Yeah, it's so the hair is derived from vertical strands of algae that also grow on its body.
Mm-hmm.
Its docile nature made it historically popular as a pet. Gill-like organs within its cloaca, you know, where it shits.
Yeah, where it shits, and it's where it's for poo-poo, pee-pee, and sperm ejaculation. Cloaca.
And where the eggs come out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Enables it to stay underwater for up to 3 days. But yeah, definitely was not able to hide from people that wanted pets during the 60s and 70s. It's 30th on the Zoological Society of London's evolutionarily distinct and globally endangered list for reptiles. It's
well, if anything's evolutionary distinct,
yeah, that would be it.
It's the turtle with the punk gut that can breathe through its dick.
Breathe through its ass. Come on.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I got nothing.
That's a hell of a sentence there. And yeah. So anyway, next story. Another sign that childhood and adulthood is just completely merging together now. Mm-hmm. There's an Italian studio that's now making Lego compatible furniture.
What the fuck took so long?
Seriously.
People have been hacking that shit for years, man. Yeah. All you do is just, you don't even have to do it permanently. You know, you get the 3M command strips.
Yeah.
You pop up some Lego plates up on a credenza, a freaking china cabinet inside a china cabinet. I've always wanted a table, a dining room table, where the top comes off. And you kind of like, what is that, bumper pool?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have the green felt in there, but none of those damn bumpers. So you can have an ongoing game of Magic, Catan, whatever the hell.
Poker.
Pop the table back on. Oh, yeah. And also Legos.
Hmm.
But people have been hacking. There is an IKEA table. I'm sure if you guys saw it, you'd recognize it. It's just a side table. Four legs and a top costs like $7.99. It's called the LACK, L-A-C-K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
With, you know, the IKEA naming convention. And it easily fits. I think it's four Lego plates on it. And mm-hmm. you just glue those bad boys down or hot glue gun them. Because, I mean, come on. It's an $8 table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to spend that much in freaking command strips to make it removable.
Yeah.
And then you have a portable Lego table. And, like, there's companies like Little Tykes and all that stuff. They've been making kids Lego stuff for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so this is for grown-ups, and it's going to have the grown-up price tag.
Oh yeah, it's going to have the grown-up price tag. It also is quite stylish if you're looking at the pictures here.
It is. Oh, there's also this cool stuff called Lego tape that you could put right up your walls or whatever, and you could do Legos vertically now.
Yep.
So you can build them right out of your walls, make all sorts of fun crap.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Sorry. We like Legos around here.
The only thing bad about Legos is when you're going to the bathroom at night and you accidentally step on one and then you curse your existence.
Oh, my God. There has been a project in the middle of somebody's floor. I don't know whose.
Yeah.
For approximately 25 weeks now. And, yeah, every time. Yeah. Every time.
It's totally always happens.
Well, the one other bad thing about Legos is how expensive some of those sets are.
Yeah.
Especially if you want the licensed stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to get some of those Star Wars sets, but not $300 or $400.
Oh, no.
No?
Nope.
I'd love to have, like, a Star Destroyer. Fuck.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's like, that one's like $500.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no going on sale. I mean, you might get a 20% off coupon here or there, but it's never going to get clearance. It's never going to happen.
Not the branded stuff.
And the Star Wars minifigs, man, if you miss one of those and you got to buy that secondhand, you'd be broke.
Yep.
All right. And next up, once again, saying that our future is now coalescing into the future of Doraemon, Rebo is a cat robot for lonely people to stay in touch with friends.
And this thing looks like it comes from Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
The design very much looks like something out of Studio Ghibli.
All right. What
yeah.
the what? It's freaking Gigi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sleep well tonight, kids.
Yeah, those eyes are scary AF.
Yeah, so Freebo
is... I'm watching you sleep.
Yeah, so this thing comes from Korea.
Mm-hmm.
This is a prototype robot that encourages people to text and call one another. I guess you would have a couple friends get them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not intended to be social itself, but instead to foster socializing in others. So you distribute in a group of friends' houses, creating what researchers call a virtual living space that brings together individuals who are physically isolated.
Mm-hmm.
It does this by listening for activity in your house and encouraging users to talk via chat apps. Microphones mm-hmm. and sensors recognize domestic activities like when someone comes home, turns on a light, vacuums, or opens a fridge. This information is then shared anonymously with the rest of the group. Oh ho, says Freebo. Your friend opened the front door. Did someone just come home? And that's where it gets to be a little creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, ho. Your friend just opened the refrigerator. Is somebody hungry? Oh, ho. Get the hell out. Oh, my God. You
stop staring at me.
The power of Christ compels you, demon bot.
Okay, they've got this thing sitting right next to a window. This window is open. Pitch that thing. Oh, my God.
Yeah. This thing could actually be cool for people with, like, social anxiety. That have want to be able to talk to friends, but have the, the mental issues sort of keeping them from wanting to go.
Oh, yeah, like agoraphobia, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the... That. But the thing where it listens to you and will talk to you, that's definitely a no-go for that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's
I have a feeling this would be something that would actually cure agoraphobia real quick, because I would not want to be in a house with that thing.
It's worse than Elf on a goddamn shelf.
Yeah.
It's like those eyes, in and of themselves, aren't particularly disturbing. It's the fact that there's no face to accompany it.
Right.
Yeah.
So not all the feedback was positive from their testers. Testers worried about the privacy implications of a product design to report on their daily activity.
Yeah.
Concern that's common with owners of the Amazon Echo and Google Home. And the researchers noted that Freebo's design and test with Korean audiences in mind and other cultures might react differently. These are relatively minor downsides, though, and given Freebo's cheap construction, it's powered by a Raspberry Pi and has only a simple screen and basic sensors inside.
Mm-hmm.
Could easily be adapted.
To make your own.
Yeah.
Maybe so something that isn't a creepy black cat demon, you know?
Yeah.
Just get the Studio Ghibli licensing.
Oh, my God.
And make something nice out of it. Make it, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe like the suit balls that are in Spirited Away.
Yeah.
Like those things. There's lots of weird, interesting Studio Ghibli characters you could make. This too.
Well, what's the most passive aggressive one? Because this thing just said, "Oh ho, your friend turned the washer on. Did someone's laundry get piled up? Are you throwing shade at me? Are you throwing shade at my friend? Get out of my life."
I'm not having this. I turned 18. I graduated high school. I pay my taxes. Fuck you.
Right. We do not need you to comment on old Drippy in the laundry room.
Yeah, make it
starting
make
to judge my lifestyle, man. I ain't having that shit.
You haven't moved in 8 hours. What the hell are you doing?
What's it to you? Yeah. I have Netflix.
Why are you watching Friends over and over again? Do we need to call a friend?
What's that buzzing sound I hear from the bedroom? Shut up, bitch!
Yeah, so many ways this could go badly.
Yeah.
This is just wrong.
Yeah.
And it does look creepy.
Yeah, it does. moving on.
Yeah, so, next up, Mark Zuckerberg is in doo-doo right now.
Yeah, he's been testifying the House and the Senate.
And while he was there, there was a congressman that said just the darndest goddamn thing to him.
So a lot of the people in Congress are old people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, some old
people
kidding.
That have problems just operating computers, much less doing things on Facebook. So
remember, it is an Alaskan congressman that gave us the phrase series of tubes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you introduce the founder of Facebook to all these old people, and they said a lot of weird things this week.
Yeah.
Let's see. First up is Senator Bill Nelson of Florida. I'm communicating with my friends on Facebook, and I indicate that I love a certain kind of chocolate, and all of a sudden I start receiving advertisements for chocolate. What if I don't want to receive those commercial advertisements?
I have an answer for that. Don't be on Facebook, dumbass. Sorry.
Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington tried to coin a new nickname for Palantir. Palantir is a data analysis company founded by Peter Thiel. She said... tried to call it Stanford Analytica. Asked him, "Do you agree?" He replied, "Senator, I have not heard that."
He said that a lot this week.
Yeah, he replied after an awkward few seconds of silence. Orrin Hatch, the oldest man in Congress, used his few minutes with Zuckerberg to figure out whether Facebook will always be free to use. See his question. So how do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service? Senator, we run ads. Zuckerberg responded before breaking into a tiny smirk. I see, Hatch replied. That's great.
A lot of people were having trouble with that very forced tiny smirk. And
that's the smirk of somebody that's
under
computers
pressure.
And the internet gets asked weird questions by old people.
Yeah.
Like, it's the kind of smirk that you give to your grandmother when she says something that's just like, oh, okay, grandma, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
I
can't believe you just asked me that.
Yeah.
Is that Flash? Is that what I need?
It was a very patronizing smirk.
Yeah. Let's see. Several senators tried to take advantage of having an audience with Facebook's CEO. Senator Roy Blunt of, what's MO, Missouri?
Missouri.
Mm.
Okay. My son, Charlie, who's 13, is dedicated to Instagram, so he'd want to be sure I mention him while I was here with you.
Oh, God.
Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina. I've got 4,900 friends on my Facebook page. I delete the haters and save room for family members and true friends on my personal page. I'm a proud member of Facebook. Just got a post from my sister on this being National Sibling Day.
Yay! We got fanboys.
Yeah, we got somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing.
Well, there is that, yeah.
And Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia asked Zuckerberg to bring some fiber the next time he visited rural West Virginia. She clarified that some rural areas of her state lacked good internet connectivity.
Okay, that is actually a genuine issue. Especially when you get out in rural areas in like Missouri and Mississippi.
Yeah, that's not Facebook's problem.
Yeah.
He has that Free Basics Internet Initiative.
Yeah, that's what it says here. The request created an opening for Zuckerberg to reference his Free Basics Internet Initiative, turning the session into an unexpected marketing opportunity. On the second day of Zuckerberg's testimony, several congressmen jumped on the same wagon and asked the CEO to get in touch with them to bring similar opportunities to their districts.
Yeah.
Okay, here's where Ted Cruz comes into the picture.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Somebody give me a drink.
He used his time to question Zuckerberg thoroughly on why Facebook has a bias against conservatives.
Oh, fuck you.
You know, the evidence from a Gizmodo article in 2016, Facebook has initially shut down the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day page. And most recently blocked Trump supporters' Diamond and Silks page with 1.2 million Facebook followers.
That turned out to be bullshit, by the way.
They're determining their content brand were quote-unquote unsafe to the community.
Well, he's quoting Gizmodo. That is not exactly where I go to get highly journalistic things to read. It's where you go to just shit around. This
Moto is basically like a third-rate BuzzFeed at this point.
Exactly.
Many on Twitter land-based crews were focusing on a Chicken Joints Facebook page rather than Cambridge Analytica or any
which
other
which is the real story here.
Crews went on to question Zuckerberg about the possibility that Oculus founder Palmer Luckey was fired due to his political views, which Zuckerberg denied. The Facebook secretly listens to your conspiracy. Members of Congress prodded Zuckerberg on the common suspicion that Facebook listens to its users through their phones. Senator Gary Peters jumped on this out of Michigan, I think. Was more direct, asking this question in yes or no formats. Larry Buction of Indiana chose to illustrate the example using his son who likes buying suits and then saw ads for suits online. If you're not listening to us on the phone, who is? And do you have specific contracts with those companies that will provide data that is being acquired verbally? Buction asked, my understanding is that a lot of these cases that you're talking about are coincidence, Zuckerberg responded.
At least that was a decent goddamn question.
Yeah, yep. Decent question, but...
And that was not a good answer.
Yeah.
And I doubt that that was a truthful answer.
Yep. Dick Durbin of Illinois turned the tables on Zuckerberg by leading him on an unusual line of questioning. Mr. Zuckerberg, would you be comfortable sharing with us the name of the hotel you stayed in last night? Durbin asked Zuckerberg, causing the latter to freeze up before arriving on a no. If you've messaged anyone this week, would you share with us the names of the people you've messaged? Durbin added, and Zuckerberg responded, no, I would probably not choose to do that publicly here. It brought home the point of why Facebook users are concerned about a data breach and an invasion of privacy.
You know, Durbin, you actually got that one pretty fucking good.
Yep.
Next up is Billy Long of Missouri. Went back in time and chose to confront Zuckerberg about FaceMash, the app that the CEO built 15 years ago before he created Facebook. What was FaceMash, and is it still up and running? No, there was a movie about this, or it said it was about this. He's referring to Social Network.
Yeah.
It was of unclear truth, and the claim that FaceMash was somehow connected to the development of Facebook, it wasn't. He continued to probe Zuckerberg on FaceMash. Just coincidental. The timing was the same, right? Just coincidental. You put up pictures of two women and decide which one is the better, more attractive of the two. The conversation clearly made Zuckerberg uncomfortable before Long commented that CEO had come a long way since FaceMash. And hey, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, it's been a week for him, given that.
Yeah.
The guy's been apologizing for 14 years straight, so, yeah.
And what more, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, watching him this week, though, I have a little bit of a different perspective on him. He doesn't seem like he's evil or anything. Actually, he seems kind of he might be on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And, I mean, that's pretty common with very successful tech guys.
Yeah, so it's like he doesn't seem like what he's doing is wrong in any way. You just can't understand why people are upset with him,
Yeah.
But
hey, he's very much in a bubble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that could be.
I just got some kind of breaking news here. Remember how we announced earlier that the strikes were happening?
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Yeah, France and the UK have also launched their own strikes as well. A friend of mine just messaged me, said that civilian casualties are already being reported.
What? They're actually... Oh, God.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
Fucking hell.
Now, the thing is, I don't know actually where those missiles are targeting. A friend just said they destroyed a research facility and are attacking a few army bases. They are also firing rockets directly into Damascus from what I'm reading on Twitter, but most of their missiles are being destroyed by their anti-air defenses.
Fuck.
Yeah.
All right, so from that fun little news, moving on from there... We're now basically getting into the entertainment portion of the show.
Yeah. The more lighthearted portion.
Yeah, we kind of need it right now.
Yeah.
So the next story actually concerns Coachella. We all know what Coachella is, right?
Yeah, it's a big music festival that all douches go to.
Yeah. It's actually getting sued by another Oregon festival for an anti-competition 5-state radius clause that they have, which I did not know was something you could do.
Yep. Let's see.
Well, I can see why they would have that clause, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've got Lollapalooza in Chicago, and if some assholes decided to run something else, like, the same weekend, I could see them getting pissed off about it.
There's a little bit of an issue. There's a 5-month period that this is supposed to be active.
Five months?
5 months is a bit much.
Okay, screw them.
Yeah.
Within a 5-state radius of Indio, California, during a 5-month period from December until May, a month after the event, which takes place this year is April 13th to the 15th and 20th to the 22nd.
Yeah, I think they want to lock the music festivals for that time, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you can't go to more than one concert every 5 months.
Yeah.
That's physically impossible. Yeah.
Fuck these people. Basically.
And sort of the notion that if you live in any of those 5 states on the radius of this whole thing, that you would only want to go to this one concert.
Yeah. That's not necessarily true. But isn't this like for mostly music festivals, not necessarily for just one-off concerts?
Yeah, it's, I believe it's just for festivals.
Yeah.
And so this is from the Sold Out Music Festival founders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Say they had approached TDE artist SZA, yeah. SCA, to play this year's event, but were turned down because of the radius clause.
Hmm.
Barring her from playing other West Coast states.
Mm.
Yep. Well, that's out in the open now, so yeah, yep. Good luck keeping that one going.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wonderful. Well, all right, next one is Simpsons related. So the Simpsons' latest episode involved the Apu documentary, and they didn't really do it very well.
Yep. So, if you had seen the, what is his name? The Problem with the Pooh from, what's his name? I don't know if they have the name here. Hari Kondabalu.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big documentary about, sort of the racial stereotypes involved with The Simpsons and how they're kind of problematic in general. It's just a means of going to a larger conversation about the representation of marginalized groups and this sort of stuff. Because obviously Apu is voiced by a white guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very much played off as a stereotype.
Deliberately.
Though they have done good storylines in the past getting outside of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like from what I have read from people that are still watching The Simpsons that they've kind of thrown a lot of that good characterization out of the window for most characters.
Basically, The Simpsons now is basically it's trying to eat Family Guy. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Because there ends up being a sequence here where Lisa and Marge, Marge has an edited a new version of The Princess in the Garden, tailoring to what would be acceptable and inoffensive in 2018. Marge reads the story to Lisa, but the new version is much shorter and lacking in an emotional journey for the central character. Both Marge and Lisa make reference to Apu, with Lisa looking at a picture of the character and saying, "Something that started decades ago was applauded inoffensive is now politically incorrect. What can you do?"
Mm-hmm.
And the picture of a poo that they have on there, it has written on it, "Don't have a cow."
Mm.
Mm.
It's basically telling the people to go shove it.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing because there's a really great episode that features Lisa where she is excited for a new Malibu Stacy doll that talks and has built up a lot with her own storytelling with the doll that she's a smart independent woman and all that, and when she gets the talking doll, it's sort of a ditzy blonde.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really disappointed at the way it reinforces stereotypes about women and is a bad role model for girls.
Hmm.
Petitions the people that make the doll to perhaps redo it and get some better lines for it to say. Gets laughed off. So she goes and finds the original woman that helped create the Malibu Stacy and creates her own thing called Lisa Lionheart.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
Actually has good, smart lines to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does well, but then the Malibu Stacy people release a new hat.
Yep.
And there goes all the attention. Yeah. And so it's like, oh. That's supposed to be the same Lisa here that says, you know what, fuck your political correctness.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I do have to have a little bit of sympathy for the Simpsons writers at this point, because it's like, you've had Apu for 10 years. What do? You just have him murdered?
Mm-hmm.
Just because this dude is offended by it? I'm not, I don't like to perpetuate racial stereotypes, but you know, there's potential there for Apu to develop as a really good character, and they have opportunity to do that. They're just not taking it.
That's fair.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people also did not like that Al Jean was all of a sudden starting to retweet like right-wing stuff.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden the right-wing people are like, oh, we love The Simpsons. Because now they're okay with racism and all that. It's like, yeah, they've been shitting on you people for 30 years.
Yeah. We'll continue to next week.
Yeah. Yeah, so, hey, don't. But I think Al Jean specifically said, you know what, we're actually going to rethink this and find a better solution to this issue.
Yeah.
So, at least props to them for finally coming out and do it.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if they did it before they put out this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they can't take that back now.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Ooh, Stan Lee.
Yeah, next up is about Stan the Man Lee. Everybody knows Stan right now. He's 95 years old, and he's not in really good shape right now. And apparently he's been the subject of elder abuse from family, friends, business partners.
Yep. If you had heard recently, there was a story about one of his business partners stealing blood from him.
Yep.
To put into special pens to sign stuff with. Like, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. And a lot of this story centers around his daughter, JC, who is 67 years old.
She sounds like a piece of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a 67-year-old that acts like a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Very much has, like, a stipend that she gets from her dad.
Mm-hmm.
They say here it's not common for JC to charge in any given month $20,000 to $40,000 on credit cards, sometimes more. When he and his daughter disagree, which is often, she typically yells and screams at me and cries hysterically if I do not capitulate.
For those of you who don't know, apparently her mother was much better at handling her. Mm-hmm. But those you don't know, his wife passed away.
Yeah.
So
he's not great at that, as well as also being 95 years old.
Yeah. And he's a people pleaser, and he'll do. He's been known to say and do the things that make people happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he appears at a lot of conventions and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's see. His estate is estimated to be worth between $50 million and $70 million. Mm. I guess he receives about $1 million a year for his Marvel ties.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they also say here that his wife was definitely a lot better at handling the money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially as it relates to their daughter. But yeah, it's a lot of unfortunate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And like when his wife was still alive, I guess like in 2014, it says that, the daughter, JC, found out that Jaguar or whatever she'd been driving was just leased. And mm-hmm. It wasn't hers. It was leased in Stan Lee's name. And so she got pissed off and kept insisting that it's mine. And she took her mother by the arm and shoved her into a window. And it hurt her because the woman fell and had like some burst vein and a big bruise, and Stan said, I've had it, you ungrateful bitch. She took hold of his neck, slammed his head against the chair's wooden backing that he was sitting in, and he had a contusion on the rear of his skull. And they've always felt sorry for her because she was bullied in high school and say that she's still haunted by that. And she's emotionally fragile. They're afraid she's going to end up destitute. So they've tried to put money into a trust, and apparently that's not going well with her or the three hangers-on that have been orchestrating this whole, basically, like, sounds like a takeover, and where they've changed his phone number and they don't let him have email. And
by the way, we want to remind you, this woman is 67 years old.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. High school was 50 goddamn years ago.
Yeah.
And one of his former caregivers said that the girl, she's not a girl. She is.
She's a girl.
She's a fucking
ass woman.
She's a senior citizen.
Yeah.
She's a senior citizen. Okay, Kat, I know I'm being loud. Don't meow at me. Clearly, I'm getting worked up here. I'm getting yelled at about it. She would call like dozens of times a day to argue with him over just the littlest thing, and that he would end up hoarse and barely with a voice because out of guilt and whatever and love, he would take almost every single call and listen to her bitch fest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just got to be like a living hell.
Yeah. Yep.
And what really happens is we know that Stanley is not going to be around for too much longer.
No, he's not. And he's likely being physically abused, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just robbed blind, but God damn.
She's going to end up in control of the estate. She's going to have all the money, and she's going to bankrupt the Lee estate at this point. That's what it's looking like. It's going to happen.
Yeah. I did see that Kevin Smith offered to take him in, sort of shelter him, and noted that Stanley was the first person to call him after his heart attack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely have close ties.
Yeah.
And sort of help him out with all this. She had to get at least some distance.
Yeah.
It's sad to see this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a perfect person by any means, but he definitely
deserves
service at this point.
Yeah. He deserves better than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves to show up in the random Marvel movies, you know, do some convention stuff and just enjoy his remaining time.
Yeah.
Hey, he doesn't deserve to be beat up by his daughter.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Fuck is this shit?
Yeah. So next up, the next story, SAG-AFTRA, you know, the Screen Actors Guild and the, the American Federation.
Don't remember what the last it stands for, but
yeah, I have no idea what the last three are. Basically, they have now officially banned auditions in hotel rooms and residences.
See, Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists.
Yeah. Ah,
thank you. So, I'm guessing this is direct response to the whole Weinstein thing.
Yeah.
Yep. New guideline calls on producers and other decision makers to refrain from holding professional meetings in hotel rooms and private residences, not to agree to professional meetings in these high-risk locations.
Mm-hmm.
The guild said that in the rare event that there is no reasonable alternative to having the meeting in such a location, guideline number one establishes the concept of a support peer to accompany the member during the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's a start.
Yeah, it is. Things are changing over there in Hollywood, slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up. The Batgirl movie. People have been trying to get the Batgirl movie going for a while, and it's been off the rails. But now it's getting its back on. The Bumblebee writer, Christina Hodson, she's now charged with penning the script. So.
Yep. After Joss Whedon had it... control of it for a while, just could never figure out what to do with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she is working on. She wrote the upcoming Transformers spinoff featuring Bumblebee. Is hired up for this one.
Mm.
So let's see. She wrote the 2017 Warner Brothers thriller Unforgettable, starring Rosario Dawson and Katherine Heigl. She's been in a couple writers' rooms for Transformers and Ology. The franchise Paramount is developing based on the young adult fictional encyclopedias from Templar Publishing.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
You
know, DC really needs some hits here. Wonder Woman probably was the best that they've done. So,
yeah.
We'll see if they can hit it with Batgirl. Yeah. That would be.
Yeah, and getting a woman involved is a good start.
Yeah. So. Now, is this the... is this supposed to be the Barbara Gordon Batgirl?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right.
Okay.
All right, and finally, our last story for the night, we finally got our first trailer for the Megalodon movie, The Meg.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the name.
Nope.
The Meg. Because you say The Meg, and...
You think Megan Griffin.
You do!
Is this the Family Guy movie,
yeah.
or is it
yeah.
somebody Shut else? Up, Meg. But yeah. It's...
Well, if you've seen the Star Wars parodies they did where Meg always ends up playing one of the weird one-off creatures like the Sarlacc or...
Yeah.
No, not the... Yeah, the Sarlacc. Yeah. I was going to say the Rancor. No, the Rancor is the Jabba's thing.
Yeah. But... yeah. Poor little guy got squished.
I loved how they made the Rancor in the Family Guys. It was Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Megalodon. Don't know.
It's the trailer very much plays it off as sort of a schlocky monster movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of what you want. Features Jason Statham.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm in.
Yep. They also have, let's see, Rainn Wilson from The Office.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Rose, Winston Chow, Paige Kennedy, and a bunch of other people here. It's also being directed by John Turteltaub, the National mm-hmm. Treasure movie guy.
Yeah.
So there's your guy for schlocky movies.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess they're in an international undersea observation vessel, this research station, when this Megalodon starts attacking them.
Mm.
They're trying to figure out how the hell to get out alive.
Mm.
And yeah, it seems like it could be pretty cool. They have some good sort of set pieces here where there's a bunch of swimmers up on the water.
Yeah.
And the Megalodon is swimming under it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fins, like causing the waves.
Yeah.
Sort of messing with them. There's some pretty cool shit in this trailer.
Mm.
They have a giant squid that attacks one of their vehicles, trying to get out. Mm. But then the Megalodon eats it up.
Because of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. I like monster movies, but I like monster movies that don't take themselves too seriously. So
yeah.
This looks like it might be just what I want.
Yeah, this is out August 10th.
Yeah. Awesome.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. I do believe we have a show, folks.
Yep.
And for the moment, we do still have a not irradiated planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the thing about this is, as bad as it sounds right now, it's also really possible that this is going to end up like what he did when he did the missile strike on the airbase, where it was mostly theater.
Yeah.
Of course, even though, you know, civilian casualties, because
yeah,
that's the kind of thing the First World is now.
Yeah.
But anyway, we can't predict anything. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But as usual, we will still be back with you next week for another episode of Let's Weekend. I would also like to remind all our listeners, if you got anything you want to say to us, have something you want to write into the show, have something you want us to read on the air, a question, comment, you know, crazy conspiracy theory, whatever, you can reach us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it linked in the show notes. Also, you can follow us on top of iTunes. You can also hear our little podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, archive.org, RSS, and just about anywhere where unscripted shenanigans like ours are aggregated and can be listened to. So, I have been your host with the most glass nose, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Analfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logie, and Teresa Sammons, I want to say good night, sleep tight, don't let the atomic bombs bite.